Pastor Noah and worship team, thank you everybody for lifting up our graduates. And yeah, man, I'm excited we get to jump into God's Word today. Hey, listen, at the end of today's service, you're going to have a chance to take some kind of step of faith. We call that taking a next step. For some of you, that next step may be turning something over to God, some area of your life where you've been in control, you've been leading yourself. For others, that next step may be turning yourself over to God by placing your faith in Jesus. We'll have some people back at the Next Steps booth who would love to talk with you about that. For now, I invite you to open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 25. Get your sermon notes out or pull them up on the Bible app. And while you're doing that, let me just tell you that today we're starting a brand new series called Truth. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at why it's so important that we live our lives based on truth. Based on God's truth, the only truth that is rock solid, the only truth that really is truth. Not my truth, not your truth, not truth that other people come, you know. We're going to talk about living our lives based on God's truth rather than the wisdom of the world, rather than the latest ideas or philosophies, or worse yet, our own feelings. The title of today's message is Don't Follow Your Heart. You know, there's so many graduation cards out there, and they say things like, follow your heart, you know, follow your dreams, you know, it's a whole new chapter out in front of you, and you get to set the course, all these kind of things like that. And here's the thing, this is not just a grab message, but definitely it's appropriate for our graduates as you're headed into that next chapter and maybe even tempted to say, I get to set my own course. I hope today that you don't follow your heart, because I don't think there's anything that gets us in more trouble in life than when we follow our heart, when we follow our gut, when we go with our feelings and just go with what feels good or what feels right. But that's how so many people live, isn't it? We live in a culture. That's what culture tells us to do. You know, if it's what society affirms and validates. If you feel a certain way about things, if you feel a certain way about yourself, then that's what must be true, because that's how you feel. Nothing else matters except for how you feel. Our culture has unashamedly embraced and lived out Shakespeare's famous line from Hamlet, to thine own self be true. Well, guys, God has a very different approach. God takes a very different perspective. He tells us in his word in Proverbs 14:12, there's a way that seems right to us, but in the end, it leads to death. There is a way that seems right to us, but in the end, it leads to death. People are telling us, follow our hearts, follow our dreams, be your own person. That's how you're going to succeed in life. That's how you're going to find everything you ever hoped for. That's how you're going to be successful. But God says, no. Don't follow your heart. Don't listen to your gut. Don't follow your feelings. It leads to disaster. And in Genesis chapter 5, we see a story where this plays out. We see the story of Jacob and Esau, twin brothers who were rivals from the start. Really, the Bible says from while they were in the womb, they were wrestling with each other. They were rivals from even before they were born. And here in this story that we're going to read today, we're going to see Esau, the older brother, makes a terrible decision, quite literally based on his gut. A decision based on how he feels. A decision because he followed his heart. And what I hope we see today is that God offers us a better way. God offers us all the opportunity to trust him, to base our lives on the truth of his word. God offers us the chance to listen to him and be guided by him. But if we don't, if that's not what you're down with, then I want to make sure you hear from this story that there are some very real dangers that come with following your heart. Let's read Genesis chapter 25, beginning in verse 27. So it's talking about Jacob and Esau. It says, as the boys grew up, Esau became a skillful hunter. He was an outdoorsman. But Jacob had a quiet temperament, preferring to stay at home. One translation it led me to believe that he was a very serious person because he said he was always in tents. Okay. That's for the next time I preach this, like whenever that'll be. I'd never preach a message over. Anyways, all right. But Jacob had a quiet temperament, preferring to stay at home. Isaac, their father, loved Esau because he enjoyed eating the wild game Esau brought home. But Rebekah, their mother, loved Jacob. See, it's okay to have favorites, right? All right. Rebekah loved Jacob. One day when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau arrived home from the wilderness exhausted and hungry. And Esau said to Jacob, "I'm starved. Give me some of that red stew." And that's how he got his other name, Edom, which means red, a sort of a play on words there. "All right," Jacob replied, "but trade me your rights as the firstborn." "Look, I'm dying of starvation," said Esau. "What good is my birthright to me now?" But Jacob said, "First you must swear that your birthright is mine." So Esau swore an oath, thereby selling all of his rights as the firstborn to his brother Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and lentil stew, and Esau ate the meal and got up and left. He showed contempt for his rights as the firstborn. All right, bad jokes aside, I really do hope you listen to what we're going to talk about today, because in this story, I think we see some real danger, some lessons that we can learn from, some reasons why we should seek and rely on truth, the truth of God's word, why we should trust truth rather than trust our feelings. If you're following along, point number one is this: feelings are often misleading. One of the dangers in following your heart is that feelings are often misleading. A good reason to depend on truth to guide us is that how we feel in a particular moment can feel very real to us, but it can be something that is not true, not accurate, something that can lead us away. I want us to listen again to verses 29 to 32. It says, "One day when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau arrived home from the wilderness, exhausted and hungry, and Esau said to Jacob, 'I'm starved. Give me some of that stew.' And Jacob replies, 'All right, but sell me your first right. Trade me your rights as the firstborn son.' And he says, 'Look, I'm dying of starvation. What good is my birthright to me now?'" So the setting here is that Esau comes in and he's feeling exhausted. He's physically exhausted, and he felt it. He felt like he was starving. He was starving to death. Any of y'all ever feel that, like around 11 o'clock, 11:30, lunchtime? You're just, "I'm starving," you know? And then that hunger's growing, and you just can't wait to go to lunch. And, you know, well, he really did have a great hunger, and he had a great desire to eat. And it was so great that he thought he was going to die. He thought he was on the brink of dying. Survival experts give us what's known as the rule of three. Three things, you know, air, water, and food. You can go 3 minutes. The average person can go 3 minutes without air before they die. The average person can go 3 days. I don't recommend it, but you can go 3 days without water before you die of dehydration. The average person can go 3 weeks without food before they starve to death. Some of us, we can't go 3 hours without snacking, you know. But you can go 3 weeks without food. So Esau coming in here, if he really was on the brink of death, he wouldn't be walking and talking. He wouldn't be coming in making demands. He'd be crawling in. He'd be like falling on the doorstep of the tent, barely able to make it, be like, "Damn it." You know? That's how he would be. Esau probably felt like he was dying, but that wasn't what was really going on. His feelings, that one side of his brain, that reasoning process, his worry, his anxiety, his cravings, his impulsiveness was telling him one thing, and it was overriding that other side of his decision-making process of logic and reason and fact that said, "You're not going to die, dummy." Esau was misled by how he felt. Guys, my encouragement to you today is don't be misled by your feelings. Don't be misled by your emotions. Don't trust how you feel in that moment. Don't let your heart lead you to make an impulsive decision that you will deeply regret later, because there in your outline, feelings are real, but don't always reflect reality. Feelings are real. You have very real feelings, very real emotions, but they don't always reflect reality. Friday night, got to spend some time with our youth. We were at schools out for summer. By the way, we had a great, great time. We got some great leaders working in our student ministry. We got a great group of kids. I am so excited about our summer. We had just a fantastic event, schools out for summer. And while we were there, I was talking to Caleb Salazar, and we were talking about like business and how things are going and stuff like that. And you know, there's in all businesses, there's ups and downs, there's there's differences. And he was talking about worry and about how he doesn't worry about the future because God's got it. And he said something, I hope I get this right, but he said, worry is you deciding what the outcome is going to be without letting things play out. Worry is you deciding what the outcome's going to be. Did I come close? Without letting things play out. You see, feelings are very real, but they don't always reflect reality. And so we don't want to be misled by our feelings, how we feel about a certain thing, how we feel in the moment. Don't be misled by your heart. Let God lead you. Let God's word lead you. Now, moving on to the second danger that we see in this story of following your heart, it really ties in with the first because another word for being misled is to be deceived. And with that in mind, let's look at this second thing we see in the story. The first is that feelings will often mislead us. The second danger from following our heart is that decisions made when we are deceived are devastating. Decisions made when we're deceived can be devastating. And so we've seen how Esau was misled by his feelings, and what we're going to see is the devastating outcome for him. We're going to see the devastating outcome, how bad things can be when we're misled and when we make decisions based on bad information, even when what's informing us is our own heart, our own feelings, our own emotions. Reading again, verse 30 to 33, Esau said to Jacob, I'm starved, give me some of that red stew. That's how he got the other name, Edom, which means red. Verse 31, all right, Jacob replied, but trade me your rights as the firstborn. Look, I'm dying of starvation, he said. What good is my birthright to me now? But Jacob said, first you must swear that your birthright is mine. So Esau swore an oath, thereby selling all his rights as the firstborn to his brother Jacob. So like we said, Esau comes in, he's hungry, he feels that he's hungry. He's convinced himself that he's going to die if he doesn't get something to eat right there in that moment. And so Jacob, his younger brother, sees this opportunity, sees a chance to work an angle on Esau. You know, Jacob's name, by the way, means he deceives. That's what his name means. It means he deceives. And if you follow Jacob's life, you see there's several instances where he is working angles on people, where he is trying to get the upper hand, trying to get ahead. He really does live up to his name as the one who deceives. But what's interesting in this story is he doesn't really deceive his brother here. He proposes a trade with his brother. He lays out the conditions very clearly. And then when his brother agrees to it, he fulfills his end of the deal. Where Esau was deceived was by his own heart. Esau deceives himself through his own emotions, how he felt about the situation he's in. And making a decision while being influenced more by his feelings and less by the truth, Esau agrees to a really bad deal. He trades his inheritance as the firstborn. He trades his double portion. As the oldest, he would have gotten a double portion of everything that Isaac, their father, would have given. You know, if this is what he was going to give Jacob, then that's what he was going to give Esau. Okay? And so he trades that away. Matter of fact, he makes the worst deal in history since Adam and Eve traded paradise for a bite of an apple. Esau is deceived by his own emotions. And what makes this decision so devastating is for Esau, he realizes later what he had given up. If you look over in Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about him in verse 17. It says, you know that afterwards he, talking about Esau, wanted his father's blessing and he was rejected. And it was too late for repentance, even though he begged with bitter tears. Esau could not change the outcome of his bad decision. He couldn't change the consequences of his impulsiveness. Guys, what I hope you hear is that when we make bad decisions based on bad information, we get bad results. When we make bad decisions based on bad information, we get bad results. When we live like the world tells us it's okay to live, to be your own person, to follow your heart, to set your own course, to do what feels right, that's when we're making decisions with the worst advice ever. Following our hearts, listening to our feelings. Listen again to what Proverbs 14:12 says. There's a way that seems right. There's a way that sounds right. There's a way that feels right. There's a way that we just say, this just must be right because I feel it right here. It's got to be okay. But in the end, it leads to death. Bad decisions based on bad information leave us with bad results, which brings us to really the worst result ever. Number three, the worst danger. Number three, following your heart can lead you away from walking with God. Following your heart can lead you away from a life of walking closely with God. Listen to verse 34 again. It says, then Jacob gave Esau some bread and lentil stew, and Esau ate the meal and got up and left, and he showed contempt for his birthrights, for his rights as the firstborn. And some translations say that Esau despised his birthright. The word despise means that he did not value. He didn't value his birthright. Now, hang with me for a minute, okay? At the heart of the birthright was not just getting a double inheritance. It wasn't getting two cows instead of one. You know, it wasn't getting 10 sheep instead of five. That was part of it. But that's not what's at the heart. At the heart of the birthright was God's covenant promise that he made to Abraham and to Abraham's descendants. Back in Genesis chapter 12, God makes a promise to Abraham. Said, I'll be your God and you'll be my people and I'll be with you and I will bless you and I will bless your descendants. And your descendants will be more numerous than the sands on the seashore and the stars in the sky. Nobody's going to be able to count them. You're going to be so many. And I'm going to bless other people through you. That's what's at the heart of God's covenant blessing. And so Abraham's son was a guy named Isaac, and Isaac's sons were Esau and Jacob. And so as the firstborn, Esau not only stood to inherit two cows instead of one or 10 sheep instead of five, he stood to inherit the covenant blessing from God. Now, I used to read this passage and think that what this was saying was that Esau, after eating the stew and getting up and leaving, realized he'd made a bad deal. And so from that point on, he began to despise the blessing. But that's not really what it is saying. What we see here is that Esau, he let a physical satisfaction and a momentary pleasure outweigh his spiritual priorities that he would have been told about, that his dad and mom would have told him about and invested in him. Esau very likely, before he got to this moment, didn't regard the blessing. Before he got to this moment, he didn't regard the spiritual inheritance. Before he got to this moment, he was already probably making decisions, following his gut, following his heart, following his feelings, and was distancing himself from God. If you go back to Hebrews chapter 12 and you look at the verse right before, verse 17, verse 16, what does it say about Esau's spiritual condition? Verse 6, or maybe it's 16. I may have a typo here. Sorry. But it says, make sure that no one is immoral or what? Godless, like Esau, who traded his birthright as the firstborn for a single meal. How does this verse describe Esau? It calls him godless. He despises it. He didn't value that time with God. The biggest loss for Esau was not losing his birthright. The biggest loss for Esau was not losing his physical inheritance. The biggest loss for him was losing that closeness with God, that time with God, that intimate relationship with God, that walk with God. Listen, when you follow your heart like Esau followed his heart, it can cost you dearly. It can cost you more than you imagine. It can lead you away from the most precious thing ever, which is a close and personal walk with God. You don't have them in your outline, but let me give you three things for you to jot down. Sometimes things come to me like on Friday or Saturday, and I don't have time to send them. I do have time to send them to Noah. I just don't. But let me share with you three things Three pieces of advice for getting truth, trusting God's truth, and being led by truth and not by your hearts or your feelings, right? The first is this: anchor yourself in God's word. Anchor yourself in God's word. An anchor is the thing that keeps a ship from drifting, that keeps a ship in place, keeps it from being blown by the winds or by the current or the waves. Get in God's word and let God's word get in you. How many of y'all have heard me say that before? You're going to hear me say it again, all right? Get in God's word and let God's word get in you. Spend time in God's word every single day. Trust the Bible. Trust God's word. I love what one author said: let the truth of his flawless word keep you from being swayed by doctrinal error, worldly philosophy, competing truths, and even your own fears and feelings. Anchor yourself in God's word. Second thing, determine ahead of time to live by God's word. Determine ahead of time that what God says to you, you're going to apply it to your life and you're going to live it out. The time to decide how you're going to react in a crisis is not when you find yourself in the crisis. The time to decide is long before you get there. Determine ahead of time what your standards are and determine to live by God's commands. Kevin DeYoung, he works with college students a lot, and he gives this specific advice to college kids regarding going to church. He says, determine now that the first Sunday you're on your own, that first Sunday, mom and dad have dropped you off at college, you're living in the dorm, maybe you're living with friends, whatever it is, but that first Sunday when there's nobody around to wake you up, nobody around to drag you to church, determine now that that first Sunday you're on your own, you're going to get up and go to church. He said that will be one of the most important decisions you ever make regarding your walk with Christ. Determine ahead of time to live by God's word. Anchor yourself with God's word. Determine ahead of time to live by God's word. And then the last one is when you find yourself off course, get back on track. When you find yourself off course, get back on track. Here's the deal, guys. All of us, not just high school students, not just college students, not just recent grads, all of us, we're going to mess up. Amen? Amen? All right. We're all going to mess up. You're going to do some dumb stuff in life. And the enemy is going to tell you that you can't come back from that, that you've messed up too bad, that you've gotten too far from God, that there's no way God's going to take you back. Do not believe that lie. Don't listen to the devil's lies about you, about what you've done. Don't let him fill your heart. Don't even listen to your own heart that's filled with guilt and shame. God loves you. And there is nothing, nothing, nothing you can do that puts you too far from God. I love what one pastor said. There is nothing you can do, nothing that's been done to you, nowhere that you've been that you're too far from God's love. God loves you and is waiting to welcome you back and to help you get back on track. Over the next series, we're going to be looking at a lot of things, looking at wisdom, looking at truth, looking at how we suppress the truth, looking at how Jesus says he is the way, the truth, and the life. As we wrap up today, I want to pray for us. I want to pray for us, and I want you to really think about what we've talked about today, because maybe as we've been talking, there's been some things that you've thought about that, yeah, but you don't understand. You don't understand what I'm dealing with, Pastor Ashley. You don't understand what I'm going through. You don't understand how big a deal this is. And I may not, but you know who does is God. He definitely understands. And he's ready to lead you through that if you will let him, if you will follow him and stop following your heart. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, all across the room, we're coming before you. And I pray for a full surrender, full submission of our hearts to you today, to your Holy Spirit, to speak to us right now in this moment. I pray, God, that for that person who is dealing with a struggle, dealing with a relationship, dealing with finances, dealing with health, dealing with uncertainty, God, I pray right now they would just have confidence in you. I pray for these high schoolers and college students as they are setting about on their next chapter of their life and they've got all their ideas and all their plans and all their goals. I pray even today they would just say, God, what do you want? Where do you want me to go to school? Where do you want me to work? What is your plan for my life? And God, I pray for those who the biggest decision they could ever make is the decision to place their faith in Jesus, to stop calling the shots, to stop being their own boss, to stop going with their gut and instead just say, I'm ready to follow Christ. God, would you speak to us in these next few moments as we sing this song, as we respond to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.